This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And now, live from Wonderverse in Oak Brook, it's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome in to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. And, well, gents, I think we imagined beforehand that the Bears were going to miss a certain pass rusher, but they missed pretty much everything. There's very little positive to take away from their worst loss of the season.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, embarrassing and sad. I've got a couple text messages from Bears fans or friends of mine. That's what they said, but I want to take full accountability on picking the Bears. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I made a mistake before the game. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know what accountability sounds like.
Yeah.
No, but it was bad. After coming off a week like that with all that turmoil going on within Hallis Hall to see that performance,
yeah,
it was terrible. And, yes, there were people injured, but we said in the pregame I thought maybe they still had the talent to win the game. Obviously they didn't. They didn't execute anyway. So it was just sad and embarrassing.
Yeah, it was embarrassing to watch that game. It wasn't a good effort. You thought without Montez Sweat, eventually the defense line would struggle as the game went on, right?
Yes.
Against the run, putting pressure on the quarterback. But bigger than all of this is the fact that count me as shocked that calling everybody out in the media and going public with everything and airing your dirty laundry, count me as shocked that doesn't work.
Yep.
It never works, right? So you were hoping that we were all hoping that they would come out there, put on a good performance, try to pull off a win in Arizona. We talked about how important this game was for Coach Eberflus. It's hard to explain how bad they looked out there today. It really is hard to even break down. Like, there was nobody who played a good football game.
Nope.
You're always trying to find one or two positives, right? They couldn't stop the run. They got physically beat. Their offense didn't move the ball. Their receivers had a big advantage on the cornerbacks who couldn't score. Their defense was giving up 26 points a game almost, right? We end up with 9 points against a defense that doesn't have anybody. They have Buda Baker, but up front they don't have anybody.
Yeah.
It's just really, really a frustrating game to watch. I can't tell you how bad I feel watching that game after hearing what I heard come from the locker room all week from these guys talking too damn much.
Now, Olin, last week you pointed out that you can't lose two games at one fell swoop. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong to feel like their 18th consecutive loss on a Sunday was predictable because of the way they lost in Washington? If they had won in Washington, do you believe we'd have seen a different performance from the Bears in Arizona?
It was weird because when you turned the film on after the Washington game, if you took the Hail Mary out, it wasn't terrible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, it wasn't terrible. But then the announcement late that Montez Sweat was out, that had you worried, right? Because we all know what that defense was before Montez Sweat showed up. But you thought they had enough guys in Billings and Edmonds and T.J. Edwards and Byard and Johnson. And when Tyreek Stevenson came back on the field, you thought they would have enough guys against a Cardinals team that doesn't overwhelm you with talent.
Yeah.
But now the answer is, the answer has to be, Mully, yes. The answer is yes. Like the Hail Mary questioning your head coach, coming out in the media immediately, going after guys, questioning your Shane Waldron's call to Kramer. Manly, I always tell people this. Now that I do radio, you don't have to say it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it. You don't have to call him out.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it for you, right? But that's why at some point, if you're a leader in the locker room, you have to recognize when it's time to talk and when it's time to circle the wagons. And after that loss last week, as much as Eberflus was bad, the captains on the team failed the team
because
they didn't circle the wagons. And that's what we were trying to say all week. Why would you call your coach out in the public?
Right.
There's things that have worked since people started playing football. There's things that work. Circling the wagons works. No matter who you think is wrong, like Eberflus, it's too late. Like I called the wrong pass blitz. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. The guy didn't run the blitz correctly.
Yep. Right.
Right. Like, you're losing accountability again. Don't lose accountability. I mean, don't lose credibility. Don't. Like call it what it is.
At halftime as you walked off, you're talking about him taking
saying
credit.
That he called a pass blitz. He didn't. The blitz would have worked if the players would have ran it correctly.
Yes. Yeah.
Again, you got to watch losing credibility in football.
Yeah, I just we talk about last week and what it was built up to be. This game was played as bad as Halas Hall was.
Yes.
And then the other thing that, you know, Olin, you were talking about circling the wagons. After the guys said what they said, I hate even going back to last week. After guys said what they said last week, they said, well, I said it. I'd say it again, but now we're going to keep it in-house. So you've you've kind of double talking there to me that it's not a healthy locker room. And that right there shows that game we just watched is not a healthy locker room. It just didn't seem like what we saw at the beginning of the year, guys flying around, playing together. We saw Caleb Williams on the sideline late in the third quarter shaking his head. Or was it early in the fourth quarter shaking his head with a little frustration. So it will be interesting to see what's going to happen now and coming forward. Is there going to be more talking? Is there going to be more frustration? But to see Caleb kind of shake his head like that, sometimes you just can't help yourself. I think he's in that situation where he's shaking his head. He's just, you know, just not on page with the receivers or whatever the situation is. But I said in the pregame, is this kind of like a defining game for Eberflus if they come out and play like they did? Is this the breaking point for this team?
Well, that's a great question. And I got to tell you, this was worse than last week. Last week, you had one play that went terribly wrong. I mean, you had some dumb calls maybe, but you got through it. You got the lead in the game. The very fact that they lost the way they lost, that's their worst loss of the year. They got beaten up all over the place. Mm-hmm. They got run over on the run game. They got the old Wilson enema, and they gave up a safety. I mean, I don't know, looking at that game, how, you know, we can't judge what game is worse, but I will go so far as to say this was a significantly worse loss. Now, I get it. No Montez Sweat gives you an excuse, but they were never in this game at all. At least they were in the terrible Washington game, and they fell apart with 30 seconds left. They were never in the game.
They gave 213 yards rushing, right? And the funny thing was, You win the takeaway battle, and you still lose.
Yeah, that bad.
And you lose badly, right? It's just Montez Sweat should ask for a raise before he comes back, right? I mean, if he means that much to the team. But Brisker was out. Kyler Gordon was out, right?
But they've been out. They've been out. That was the one, the tipping point for the defense.
That was a tipping point for the defense.
And the line was wrecked.
The line, Borum, and then, gosh, you just hope Darnell Wright is healthy, right?
Oh,
I mean,
he left.
He goes out, and then,
Andrew Billings went out.
So they have a ton of injuries, right? They have a ton of injuries right now on their football team. It looked like it by the end of the game. There was frustration, like we talked about. There's frustration after the game last week with everybody talking. There was frustration in game this week, and you want some of that. When you're getting your butt kicked, you want some frustration on your sideline, right? You want some arguing. Not everybody can be kumbaya all the time.
Right.
But when you're talking to everybody else, when you're outside your building, you should all be together, especially after a really bad loss.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what worried about what was going on last week. I know everyone says these players nowadays are different. There's Twitter. There's podcasts. There's all these things. But there are certain moments in the season that you have to hang together. And that was one of them. And they missed their chance. They missed their chance to hang over. And you don't want to say that's why they look like this today, but It all turned into a 29-9 loss to the Arizona Cardinals, who you say is a very winnable game on paper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So if we talk about all these other teams, if it's a winnable game on paper, then you have to look at the coaching and you have to look at the preparation. All the things they talked about last week. Right. Like I didn't see a lot of guys that were talking. I didn't see a lot of plays from them. I didn't see them make a lot of plays today. So you're just worried about a team that all that talking at the bench, a player, all these things going on, and then you lose a game like that, and now you have all these injuries. This was a really bad football game for Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and just and everything was bad about it. I mean, the first half, they had five penalties on offense, I believe it was, that set them back on all those drives. And we were talking about why can't they start fast. Again, another first quarter with no points because they keep putting themselves in difficult situations to come back from. And you just can't do that, and that's a sign of a bad team. Another thing I thought they would be able to do today, the Cardinals were giving up 140.6 yards a game rushing. I was like, all right, this is a game when you have a backup left tackle in, it's got moving parts on the offense, on the offensive line, put a running game together, and they still couldn't do it. So just everything fell apart today, and again, it's just that sad, embarrassing loss to lose 29-6 to go out there after a week like they had and put up a performance like that where they just, you know, nobody made plays. Caleb looked off. The O-line did not play well. Obviously, there was more injuries as the game went along. And then the defense and the run game. I mean, that's just – oh, when you said it, Montez Sweat deserves a raise. I mean, it's amazing that that one guy can make a difference into 211 yards rushing and 29 points compared to only giving up 21, you know, the most of the for the season. So it's – and where we go from here,
well,
I don't know if the injuries. I don't know. And then I want to hear what's going to come out of the locker room. Mm-hmm. You know, last week, the way they spoke, what they were talking about, what's going to come out of the locker room now? What's this week going to be like? Is there going to be finger pointing? If you start getting that, then you've got a fractured team and you really, really got to start worrying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I you know, I think the other element to this is that now they're back to 500. You know, we know that they are going to be facing teams. They haven't played a division game. We know that's out there. We know their last eight games of the year, the teams they play have a 70% win rate. They're very good. And we know that the Bears now have a game against New England, which is good for them, but they're 4-4. Like, whatever advantage you had built up with your three-game winning streak, that's gone. You're on a two-game losing streak. We know that if you lose three in a row in the NFL, that's supposed to mean something. That's supposed to be a real warning sign to danger Will Robinson. I don't know that the Bears are capable of even beating a bad New England team. I mean, I think they'll beat them going away.
Well, but New England looked better today.
They did
look better.
They lost
in overtime against a bad team.
But I'm just saying, if they have the same type of performance.
Oh, that's bad.
I mean, this is bad. They are in a bad spot in their season. It feels like a tipping point. It felt like a tipping point going in. Mm-hmm. And when you talked about the idea that when you knew when Lovey was having a – this was a big game for the head coach. He needed to win. He needed to win a game on Sunday. He needed to win a game on the road. Now 0-18. That's like now you're – it's not just 1 year. Mm-hmm. It's 1 year plus. I don't know what to say about it, but I feel like if you really liked the guy, if you really wanted to be there for him, you needed to do a hell of a lot better than you did.
Well, I guess we can say he didn't have any really bad coaching decisions, did he? Just it was an all-around bad performance?
What? I don't know who called the onside punt.
Oh, the onside punt,
That didn't work at all.
Well, and let's not forget
there.
Let's not forget making your young quarterback keep throwing the ball behind your six-string tackle at the end of the game.
At the end of the game.
At some point, let's pack up and go home. He's your only quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is not a good decision, right?
Right.
Very interested to hear, like Molly talked about, these guys talking about their football team coming out of this game, right? Because I understand, Pat, that sometimes I'm a little too old school in the way I think about the game, the way I think about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly thought coming out of that game, I thought Coach Eberflus and their coach staff failed them on that Hail Mary and the 13 yards. And
yes.
I'm sure they coached him, and someone's supposed to be back there. They call him the savior, guarding the guy who's catching the Hail Mary. And I understand the handoff to Doug Kramer and Shane Waldron, got as much blame as he could get. But I thought their leaders failed them last week.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I thought that, and when I talked about that, I talked about it a lot on Friday on the Spiegel and a home show. I talked about a lot about how I thought them they were talking too much.
Yeah.
Just too much talking for me. Right? Yeah. Just too – there's a time when even though you don't believe what you're saying, you stand behind your coach. You stand behind your offense coordinator and you say, look, we all have to get better. It's so simple, right? We all need to get better at what we're doing. So everyone's trying to get the perfect answer. At some point, you got to circle the wagons in, and I think they all need to take blame for a game like this.
Yeah.
For this game right here, they all need to take the blame, and they all need to get better. Nobody was good enough when you watch this football game. We can go through the play calling, the player by player. They were all bad tonight. All of them were bad tonight.
Yeah, that's why I can't wait to hear the message, hear what the guys say after the game.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to what you were saying. Yeah, there was a bad coaching decision. I wonder what Ryan Poles was thinking up there in the box the last minute there when Caleb's getting hit, running around.
Well, that's
he has to be
terrible.
Screaming inside of his head, like, what are you doing? Get him the heck out of there. Again, I talked about in the pregame.
He got up limping at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so we went through this. Dustin talked to us about this while we're watching the game, right? It's basically not the guy you had planned to play center, center, right?
Yes.
It's Borum, who is the
backup
swing tackle. Prior was the backup swing tackle.
Yeah.
So Borum is the second backup swing tackle, right? Yeah. And then Karan goes out. So basically you're there with your fourth tackle. And then this guy, Jake Curran, I hope I got it right that time. Jake Curran, he comes in at right tackle.
Yes.
At some point, that's your franchise standing behind these guys.
Exactly.
Right? At some point,
right.
You're throwing the ball. And he was limping the play before.
Yes, he was.
Right? So it's just there's a lot of things the last 2 weeks that the people up there have to sit in a room. And we say this too much when we talk about the Chicago Bears. And they got to talk about what the hell is going on.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on? And it's not a meeting with the leadership committee.
No.
Right? No. The people in charge have to figure out what the hell is going on. Where was the failure? Why did we fail on the Hail Mary? What is going on with all the players questioning you guys? I just when they were talking last week, I just kept thinking to myself, this is what losers do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a losing team does. And they came out today, and I've been a part of games like that, Pat, where it looks like you lost a team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It does.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to the phone lines. The number 312-644-6767. We'll come back with your calls. It's the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimperTech Decking and Railing. And we're broadcasting live from Wonderverse at Oakbrook Mall. Come on out, say hello. I don't think anyone's in a very good mood, however. So
very true.
There you go. Listening to the score.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Live from Wonderverse in Oakbrook, we're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. And we got full phone lines, guys. We got a lot of people who want to check in. We'll start with Bob in Elgin. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I kind of disagree with you guys a little bit. I think the players should hold Eberflus accountable. I think he's past his time. I mean, these are, three losing seasons so far. It all started last year when they played Green Bay. He wasn't prepared. The last game of the season last year against Green Bay, he wasn't prepared. To start this season, he wasn't prepared. And Washington game, they had the bye week, and it wasn't the Hail Mary that killed him. It was the first seven series. They had no game plan. They looked lost. And every social media site I'm looking at right now on my phone says fire Eberflus. And this isn't going to stop, and fans are not going to be happy until they fire Eberflus. And Poles is to blame for this. He put the offensive line together, and he decided to keep Eberflus, knowing we were drafting Caleb Williams. Big mistake.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, Bob, that's I don't know about calling the coach out. I agree with Olin, keep everything in-house. What I'm scared of, guys, and we were just talking about off air, is this going to spiral out of control? Is this going to be as bad as it was in 2014 with Mark Trestman? A game like this, you lose, and then if you go to or play the Patriots and lose to them, that's not a good team. I know it's different with Trestman. They gave up 50 points to two good teams, but if this does go south this next week, yeah, this Fire Eberflus thing is becoming a real deal. I'm not there yet, but I understand why everybody's saying that, just because of the week we had at Hallis Hall and that tough Hail Mary loss and then going out to Arizona and losing this way by 20 points.
Yeah, there's challenging your coach, like asking him questions, making sure what they're installing, the drills they're running are helping you become a better player and a better football team. And then there's calling them out in the media, right? And then they're saying things in the media, and then they're saying, well, I'm not really sorry for it. I'm not going to take it back. We got to be a better football team. It's just it's you're holding – the guy who hires and fires the coach holds him accountable. Right? Like, that just makes sense to me. So how does Bob want the players to hold Matt Eberflus accountable? By calling him out in the media? Or can I walk to his room, knock on his door,
there we go,
look him in the face and say, look, this is what I think needs to be done.
Yeah.
Right? This is – and I'm not saying you never – like don't confuse what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you never go in the media and say something.
Sure.
I'm saying that wasn't the week.
Yeah.
I'm saying that wasn't the time for it. And I'm saying I felt that way during the week. I felt it was, like Pat is saying, it was spiraling a little bit out of control.
Yes.
I felt like it was going too far. You don't, in the NFL, you never want anybody questioning themselves in an important position or questioning their calls or questioning their confidence. Here's the thing I used to always tell people when I used to talk to them as a leader about talking in the media about people. I would say, look, he's not sensitive. He can handle your criticism. It's when he goes home and his whole family ask him about it that it becomes a problem, right? Because when you talk about somebody in the media, soon as you walk through the door, the wife asks him about it, his family asks him about it, his friends are calling him on the phone, what about so-and-so saying this about you? And then you got to deal with all that nonsense. I never cared when my teammate said something to me. I care when I said I had to answer to everybody else in my family because somebody was talking about me. That's a problem.
There are a lot of problems here. Now, the Bears have never fired a coach in season. I know Robert Saleh was fired already. I know Mike McCarthy's on death's door, one foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peel. I understand that there are coaches under pressure, but they've never done it. If they do it, they'll do it at the end of the year. If they do it at the end of the year, how would that even look? The fire Eberflus. What? Who's taking over? Well, who's now in charge? Shane Waldron? I'm just wondering.
Eric Washington.
Eric Washington is now the head
coach. But then you have Kevin Warren's in charge now, right? So you have different persons, the president.
Okay.
So maybe he has the right to do this, and is that something he would do?
Yeah.
You know, maybe the McCaskey say, that's just a rule. You cannot fire a coach during the year. But I wouldn't like that either because you're kind of handcuffing a team president. So I think Kevin Warren would be the one and have the right to do that. I think that's the one you'd go to. You obviously talked to Ryan Poles about it, but I don't know. I'm with you, Mully. I don't think they will do it.
Right.
And it's too bad we're talking about this. We're talking about it's going to be 7-2, right? Weren't we talking about, when they get done with the Patriots, 7-2, and we go into the second half of the season.
Exactly.
And they're still 500.
I think
if they look at it, I think everyone failed in the building last week who was in a leadership position.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think they did. With the team that looks to these guys, they all should have came together and just said, look, the leader, we talked to Tyree Stevenson, we agree with the coach and say, we have to play better at the end of games, we got to make plays, the coach got to make better calls. Mm-hmm. We all have to be better, period. Right? I think they all did. Now, before you fire Coach Eberflus or talk about that, I think there's other things like putting Washington in charge of the defense, right? Mm-hmm. Or moving Thomas Brown into a play call.
Right,
role.
Right.
Like if you're desperate, then there's those things to do
right
before you create chaos or make a building chaotic with the number one pick in the draft. Right? I'm just worried about his development if I'm Warren. If I am the McCaskey family, I'm worried about Caleb Williams' development. I'm worried about creating a scene in there where it's like we fire a coach, we fire, you know, yes. you, like they fired Salah, but Aaron Rodgers is like 99 years old.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He can handle
right.
that.
Yeah. Right. He probably was behind it.
Right.
I mean, I don't think he's upset about it. You know, all that matters is Caleb, and that was one That's of the reasons that I think people were talking about why are you bringing him back after last year? Because you know you're going to draft someone. Don't you want the coach and the mm-hmm. quarterback and all that? But that's actually a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. If Caleb is who we think he is, if he's as good as we believe he will eventually be, then you look at, like, you know, Herbert, they fired his coach after 1 year. I believe he threw 38 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in the next year. It's not like it's unprecedented that a quarterback can overcome mm-hmm. losing a coach. If you deem that you have to make a move, you just need to probably move it to the end of the year mm-hmm. as opposed to right now because of – But the chaos is a major issue.
But what if there is what if there is too much chaos and the best thing for Caleb is
that's
move Shane Waldron out and move Thomas Brown called plays in Carolina,
yes,
correct?
Yes, he did. Yes.
So you have somebody that's done it before. I'm just if that chaos gets so much that you
right.
the way you feel like what is best for Caleb, because Olin, that's a great point that if it does spiral out of control, you need to really worry about your franchise. And that guy's gonna be your franchise. That's just the way the NFL is. It's a quarterback driven league. Take care of that young man. So maybe there's changes underneath Eberflus that could help.
It's if you're Ryan Poles, I gave Keenan Allen all this money. I gave DJ Moore this money. I drafted Romo Dunze. I drafted the quarterback. I gave Swift money. I drafted Darnell Wright. At some point, I got to see something like against the Arizona Cardinals defense that was without one of their cornerbacks that is not very good against the pass. I have to ask why I can't move the ball.
No.
Right? I got to ask about the plan. What is going on there? Because I'm starting to wonder now when you only put 9 points up against Arizona Cardinals. I can't put the ball in the end zone. I can't move the ball in the first half. I have to sit down. You know, we go through this.
Yep.
It's like my head hurts.
Yes.
We go through this.
Yes.
It's like I have to sit down with the OC and the head coach and ask them, show me the film. It's like we talked about earlier. The film doesn't lie. People do. Show me the film, what you're talking about. Why isn't things working?
That's a great point, Olin. And I think that we've talked before about what was the problem with the Bears. They needed touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So what did they do? They went out and they drafted touchdowns. They got a quarterback and a receiver. And guess what? Today they scored no touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And that's coming after a rough game a week ago where they fell apart at the end, but actually had the game before that happened. I think it's a real problem.
Real quick for you. Listen, the Arizona Cardinals, they were giving up 25.5 points per game.
Yes.
Which was 24th in the league. They were giving up 376 yards per game, which is fifth worst in the league.
Yeah.
They were giving up 140.9 yards per game in the rushing. They were giving up 235.6 yards per game, which was 26th in the league in pass. They were 32nd in third down conversion. And the Bears only converted, I don't even know, four first downs. I mean, it's just – you look at that team and going into that game, and that's kind of why I picked them. I said, statistically, they're not stopping anybody. And I feel like this offense, with all the names you just named there, Olin, they should be scoring points. They should be doing better. And they got stymied. They had three field goals. And that's unacceptable against an Arizona Cardinals defense that has played enough football. Now you can evaluate that defense and say, hey, they're not that good. We should be better than this, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm. Let's try Steven. He's in Detroit. Hey, Steven.
Hey, guys. I think today's effort displayed by the players on both sides of the ball, I think it was a damaging and a damning indictment that Matt Eberflus has 100% officially lost the team. The comments he made at halftime was just simply embarrassing, even for him. I think a high school coach would say something more informative and detailed than the thing that he said. And I just think that it's kind of ironic that people have all turned against them, because we know people like him in real life, a colleague or a boss, who doesn't take accountability and always skirt responsibility. And that's what he did basically the entire week, until somebody probably pulled him aside and not necessarily put a gun in his head and take more accountability. But I think that if Eberflus had taken more accountability seriously, with the Washington Hail Mary loss. I think he would have gotten at least a little more leeway. But this man has shown no ability to take responsibility, always skirted blame on his players for execution. I've called into your show every game afterwards, pretty much last year, complaining about that. And I think all the BS stuff has finally caught up to him. And a lot of people are like, well, screw him, you know, and nobody's showing that much of a remorse or sympathy towards people like Matt Eberflus, because we know people like that in real life who doesn't take accountability all that seriously.
Thanks, Stephen.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting to hear the callers still talking about last week, and we're still talking about last week. You know, we were hoping going to this game they would win, and it would just kind of wash that week away and may, all right, it was just a small distraction.
Right.
But obviously it's not. Obviously it's not. It's not in our eyes, and I'm guessing it's not in their eyes either, the way they went out there and played.
Yeah, the way they looked in that game, the criticism is coming, right? And you got to know, especially after the way the game ended last week, and then you go and lose by 20 points at Arizona Cardinals, a team that a lot of people thought you could beat. I think you were favored going into the game. Until Montez Sweat came up, you know, out of the game. But it's just really, it was a tough game last week at the end of the game. And it's too bad because they did a great job getting back into that game, taking the lead in that game.
Yes.
And then a Hail Mary. And it's just
you're taking out water.
Yeah,
now
you are.
That simple.
Yeah, no, it's that simple. And you, I think you said, Molly, many a times that was a big moment.
Yeah,
it could be a huge moment in this team and what happens as this year goes on. Because, you know, the one thing is, I look on Twitter and I see our guy Brad Biggs, and he says that the Bears are favored by 7 next week. So,
oh, really?
You never know.
Yeah, what does that
tell you? That game can't get here soon enough.
Yes, I can't wait to put that tape on of the Patriots.
That game can't get here soon enough.
Adam is in Wheaton. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Big fan, first-time caller. I'm just really frustrated with the Bears. You know, I just don't know what Eberflus is doing. I really wish that the Bears would just get rid of him. He doesn't take accountability for some of his actions. He's more into calling his defensive plays. We need a real head coach that can be a game manager. And at the end of the game, that made me sick with Caleb Williams still in there, hobbling around, limping. And he's still calling plays. Obviously, at the end of the game, if you take a look at it, Eberflus came straight up to Williams, and Williams walked right past him. So I think he's lost the locker room, the players' respect. I think it's time for the Bears to move on. And I think the best thing that could happen for the Bears is the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl. That way, Ben Johnson can move on from the offensive coordinator and hopefully come here with all our weapons that we have and install an offense and lead a team to a championship.
Thanks, Adam.
Oh, man. We're already talking about that, right? After 8 weeks?
He's
this is awful.
Yeah.
I was drinking the Kool-Aid at the beginning of the year, guys.
Yeah.
Now I'm spilling the Kool-Aid. I'm not – this is – but I understand what he's saying. But, like I said, it's just going to be very interesting. As much as the guys talked last week about that loss, what are they going to say about this one? Mm-hmm. And it just could completely spiral out of control. And yeah, I hope it doesn't for us because I want to see him win. I enjoy talking about a good team, but – the Bears can always give you drama, man.
Yeah, today was a bad day. Today was a bad day. It seemed like everything went wrong. It seemed like nothing went right. When you watch it, you expected more out of the offense. Mm-hmm. I expect, you know, they got that fumble. They caused the fumble. They got the ball in good field position. They still didn't score on that drive. I think they got a field goal. A fan corrected me, and he was correct. Cairo Santos did have a good game. I said no one did. But
yeah.
Santos. No. My fault for not counting the kicker.
Good job, Cairo.
I don't count the kicker and the punter.
Or long snappers.
I count the long snapper.
They still get checked.
Oh, I count the long snapper.
All right. We've got – I mean, I'll say one thing. This kind of disaster is good for business. We got full phone lines. So if someone drops off, you'll have your turn. 312-644-6767. You're listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and Timber Tech Decking and Railing on the Score.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Four. Murray, a laser beam downfield. The ball pops free. Marvin Harrison Jr. couldn't hold on to it. Elijah Hicks comes away with it, and the Bears have it in Arizona territory.
Live from Wonderverse in Oak Brook, we're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, indeed. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. And it is time for the hit of the game. You just heard it there. Sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. And guys, Elijah Hicks did get a good hit, did force a fumble. The Bears did get the ball. They didn't do much, though, unfortunately. A couple of moments in the game where you thought there was perhaps an opportunity, and it all kind of fell apart, and it really fell apart at the end of the game.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it earlier. Olin did it. You know, they won the takeover battle or takeaway battle 2-0 and still lost by 20 points. To me, that just tells you how bad you played.
Yeah.
If you can go up 2-0, isn't there some stat or whatever? I'd love you to always put it up there.
Yeah.
If you win the turnover battle by, you know, you're going to win 80% of the time or something. Well, and you lose by 20. I mean, that's how bad they played. I mean, it was all across the board. Obviously, the defensive line struggled in the run game, and the O-line with the injuries. Now we see who's going to be up there protecting Caleb. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. But, man, a 29-9 loss in Arizona after that week, it's sad.
Yeah, you didn't like the plan, right? You didn't like the way the players played today. You didn't like, you know, obviously Montez sweat out. The defensive line got manhandled by a Cardinals offensive line that doesn't have two starters, right? And you're worried about Connor. And we talked about in the pregame, like more than the pass rush, we're worried about the run defense without Montez sweat because that's been a weakness for the Bears this year. And then Billings goes out, and hopefully he's okay. And Darnell Wright goes out, and hopefully he's okay because – these are a lot of injuries now that the Bears are getting. And the defense without three starters, right, without three starters in the game, without their most important player, without Brisker, without Kyler Gordon. I mean, on that touchdown run, the end of half, which you would say maybe the nail in the coffin, there's two backups trying to execute that blitz for Coach Eberflus, right? And they don't execute it correctly, whether you like the call or not. It's not executed. The defense end is supposed to be in a B gap. He's supposed to spill the puller, but it doesn't happen. And right now, that building, the good thing about it is everyone can take blame, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone can say we did not do good enough. And things can turn fast, can turn bad fast for an NFL team. This is the same team that there was a lot of hope around just a couple of weeks ago, right? Yes. And Hail Mary has changed everything. And why did it change everything? Because instead of putting out the fire, the players, the leaders lit the fire.
Yep.
Right? They lit it more. And they made the fire bigger, which is great for radio. It's great for all of us. But maybe not good for a team.
I hear you.
No,
yeah.
Right?
Maybe not good for a team.
City.
So they got to get it back under control. They got to get it back moving in the right direction. Right now, when you look at this, you don't see that. You don't, after a game like that, you don't see it. But things do change fast, Pat. And hopefully they can get it back on track. Because from where I'm sitting, there's a lot of things right now wrong with this football team.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think what's difficult is that Eberflus tried to hold Tyrique Stevenson accountable. I don't know if that worked. I don't know that it anybody felt better about anything. The guy missed two series and then came in, and I don't know that it hindered him. I don't know that it helped him. I don't know that it meant anything because no one was fired up. There was as you say, they were without three starters. They made it four for the first couple series because they held the kid out. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make a statement I just think that everything that happened falls flat. It feels like a giant dud of a game mm-hmm. to go out to Arizona. Oh, and by the way, 0-18 now on Sundays on the road in the Eberflus era. 3-18 now on the road, all games in the Eberflus era. It is that is a damning statistic and one that just tells you they don't really know how to win.
Yeah, just not a good run for them so far, right? I mean, it's just we were so hopeful coming into this year. You know, we looked at the schedule when they had the three-game win streak, saying, okay, they can beat Arizona. They can beat the Patriots. They can be 7-2. And then they do this. I mean, everything has just changed. It just doesn't feel good, doesn't feel right. The guys didn't – it just seemed like they didn't play hard, making mistakes like you were talking about, Olin, not filling the gap where they're supposed to be. And they've been doing that all year long, right? That's one thing about their defense. They've been just very sound and responsible. And today they weren't in that place, and that really hurt them at the half. And then with the Bears getting the ball at the second half and giving up 7 points there, could have helped them, you know, maybe win this game, come out and get something going, but you give up seven right before the half with, what, 22 seconds to go.
Oh, man.
It's bad.
Awful.
It's really bad. But just overall, guys, it's just a bad, bad loss.
70 yards in 22 seconds.
Yeah.
My God.
We made a joke. We're like, this is the Bear Eberflus Bears time, right? And all of a sudden, they ran a run play, and I think Mully said, oh, no.
Yeah.
The guy was gone, right? And then it's just when you go through the Reddy Stewart, he calls the fumble right after you get a field goal, and you're thinking, man, here's a chance. Here's you guys' chance to jump on these guys and they just get another field goal. And from then, they just couldn't stop the run.
No.
Right? They just could not stop the running game. And really, the only guy who stopped the run was the Arizona Cardinals offensive coordinator. Thank goodness. He kept throwing the ball inside
so
the 10.
It was so
It was the weirdest thing, man. And, and it was like you were just waiting for him to run the ball. And then, you know, penalties, whether you agree with them or not, Javon Dexter's leverage penalty, penalty on Keenan Allen. There were Larry Borum not lining up, illegal formation.
Dumb call.
They just, like, I don't know if I agree with those calls, but they happen to bad football teams.
Yep, that's a great point.
Yeah.
All right, it's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking. We're going to try to get as many calls as we can in. We're also hoping to hear what Matt Eberflus had to say, and we'll get all of that next. You're listening to the post-game show on The Score.
That's it. The Cardinals' winning ways continue. They've won four of their last five to move to 5-4 as they defeat the Bears 29-9.
Live from Wonderverse in Oakbrook, we're back with more of the Great Clips post-game show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, indeed, it is the post-game show. The Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. And we have some audio from the head coach. Would you like to know what the head coach had to say? There's accountability. We'll find out exactly what right now. Let's listen to Matt Eberflus addressing the media after this wretched loss in Arizona.
Injury update, as you know, Smitty will see where his ankle is. Big Bill's got a pec, so we'll see where that is going forward. And then Darnell Wright was also announced with the knee, and then Jalen Jones had the shoulder. And I know questions will be about Caleb. I did see him. He limped off of there a little bit. He came in, looks to be fine. We'll check him in the morning. You never know how those things go going forward with that. You know, in the game, I'm obviously very disappointed in the game. And, it started off, we had, 6-7 there. And we had that penalty, the leverage penalty. And again, I was talking to the officials about it, exactly what that was. And in terms of, I know the penalty, what the penalty was, but in terms of what happened out there. So I'll get some clarifications on that. But that was obviously a big play in the game. And then the score, on the end of the half. And to me, that's on me. I call a pass defense, a pass pressure, and they end up running the ball. And again, I can make a better call there. That's on me. So I do believe that our run defense needs to shore up. And again, when you have a big run like that, obviously the numbers go up. But again, we know how to do it. We've done it in the past. It's important that with the same guys, you know, it's important that we shore that up and make sure we do a better job. Coaches, starting with the coaches and then the players after that. So then we end up at 21-9 there at the halftime. We come out on offense and don't get anything going on that first drive. You know, so and then they get some things going, and we went for it on 4th and 10 from the 44. You know, at the start of that fourth quarter, you know, we were down 15. So, you know, that's a choice there. Again, we took a big sack on that one, so that put them in a minus. You know, on their side of the 50 there, they kicked the field goal after that. Had the safety on the backed up. You know, so that right there, I thought that was a good call by the officials. The guy was engaged, and we did cut there. So I thought that was a good call there. And again, overall, it's just not good enough. Not good enough by the players and coaches, by the staff. Everybody's involved, and that's what I said to the guys in there. Starts with the coaches putting you in position to make plays, and we didn't do a good enough job of that today. And then we got to take an inward look, everybody, as we go forward here. And working into tomorrow, guys will be in the building here before noon and start the next week. We've got to find some good answers for putting our guys in position, and we got to do a great job of executing this week. You know, we're 4-4 right now, a halfway point through, and starting a new season right now. And to me, it's about getting this first victory and being 1-0 this week.
You mentioned your accountability for the call at the end of the half. What is your accountability for the offense? What do you need to do to get this offense on track when it seems like Caleb's development is stalling and you guys are scoring 9 points?
Yeah, full responsibility. Full responsibility for that. You know, so we'll work with the offensive staff tomorrow morning as we watch this tape tonight and find answers. You know, find answers for running the ball first, you know, making sure you do that and setting everything off of that, and then making sure we have good actions off of that to start on first and second down. And then when we get protections, we got to make sure I know we got six sacks 6 times today, and the pressure was there. We got to make sure we're good with flipping those things and making sure our protection is clean too, because when you protect your quarterback, and our quarterback's a good quarterback, and when you protect him, he can get the ball down the field and do a good job there.
Was it ankle or knee for him?
It wasn't reported. I saw he tweaked his ankle, so that was what I saw.
Why was he still in the game at the end?
Yeah, we're just getting work and getting timing, getting timing on the two minute operation, and that's what we were doing. The defense was out there too.
There was a sense that today would be a measurement of your response to a turbulent week. Mm-hmm. You guys came out and lost by 20. What's your response to the performance today with everything that led up?
Yeah,
to
much of what I just said. We got to circle the wagons. We got to do a really good job of staying tight. That's what you do in times of adversity. You know, we got everybody we need in the circle of men in there, and the staff members in there, and the coaches in there. We got everybody we need, and take an inward look and making sure we're doing things the right way. Starts with the coaches first, and then starts with that practice on Wednesday. You know, we got a lot of things to answer here before Wednesday, before we get on the practice field, and it's important that we do that.
How do you measure the buy-in of the group?
The what?
The buy-in.
Yeah. I know every one of those guys really well, and we've built those relationships over time, and my buy-in's all in, and I know theirs is too. And we got a lot of football to play. You know, we got 9 games in the regular season, and again, we're starting out, it's 4-4, and we got those games to play, and it starts with next week.
Degree of difficulty gets much higher, though, in terms of opponents, definitively pretty soon. What tells you that based on being 4-4 at this point, you guys are ready for that?
Just the confidence in the players, in the talent we have, in the buy-in from those guys, and how hard they work. You know, sometimes you don't get the results you want all the time. You know, so you have to look in and say, hey, what can you do better? And that to me, and sometimes it's just that small. And if you figure that out, then you turn the corner, and then you work to the next one, and you get your first victory, and then work to the next one.
All right, that's Matt Eberflus in the post game. You want accountability? There was accountability there. I don't know if he had all the answers.
If you don't take the blame, just overdo it the next time you get on the mic. You know? That usually takes care of everything, right? You just overdo. You know, it's like when I'm really mean at home, I'm super nice the next day. You know, I'm like washing the dishes, cleaning the table, and folding clothes, and whatever I got to do. But
oh yeah.
But listen. As far as accountability goes, like, Darryl Taylor has to go inside on the blitz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And Blackwell is coming off the edge. He does call pressure off the slot. And the end has to spill the – like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Coach Eberflus, yes, you're was it a great call? It was a pass pressure, which is basically a run pressure too.
Sure.
Right? I don't they ran out of a three wide receiver look. So it was your three wide receiver pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I just don't know, like, I don't know if you gain any credibility if you just take blame for something that a player has to do better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think Darryl Taylor would tell you.
What if he'd said that? What if he just said, hey.
Yeah. I would just say there, like, we have to do – it wasn't a good call, and we have to do it better.
Right.
Like, but you appreciate him trying to take the blame there. It's just kind of – gosh, it's like more like you're spinning your wheels a little bit more. You know what I mean? So
it's like he didn't do it a week ago, so now he's going to overdo it. So no pressure on anyone else. Right. It's all about me. And look, I am Mr. Accountable.
And he gave an answer in there that would have been perfect for last week's postgame. He said it's not good enough by players and coaches and staff. We got to put them in better position to make a play. Mm-hmm. That's all he had to say last week, and he didn't.
No.
Right. I mean, it's that simple. It's that just a broad brush. You know, being responsible is like a broad brush. That would have been.
That's what we're saying about last week.
Yeah,
that was a really like you didn't play bad. It was a really bad play you lost.
Yes,
against.
Yes.
Right, you came back. You showed grit. You showed toughness. It was a time for somebody, anybody to stand up.
Yes,
somebody, anybody stand up and say, "Look, we understand that was bad." Like someone talking. No one did it.
No one did it. And then
Coach Waldron came days later, and still no one did it. So it was just an interesting And the only thing you can hope is they learn from this, right? And it's hard to say, and it's hard to have hope in a team that you just watch play like that. But, you know, Coach Eberflus is trying to take accountability there. Hopefully the players follow his lead. Hopefully the coaching staff follows his lead. But right now, Billings having a peck, like, that scares the hell out of him.
Listen, we know that Bill Murray lost for the year because he just got a peck. Mm-hmm. You can say that's not a big deal, but doesn't that mean the guy at the very least is out for a while and hopefully not the season, but if he has a serious peck injury, that's the end of him.
Yeah.
And you could argue that he is as valuable a piece of that defense, I don't want to say as Montez Sweat because we saw what happened when he was out, but you know, similarly impactful as a defensive tackle on that defense.
Yeah, and then Darnell Wright, if his knee injury is serious, that's two starters.
Wow.
That's two quality starters for this team. And the other thing they talked about, I thought was interesting questions by the media guys there, that you know they kept saying we're 4-4. But it doesn't feel like 4-4.
No, it doesn't.
It does not feel like 4-4 at all, and especially what's coming in front of them. And I thought that was a good line of questions about that. But he said what he had to say. But you are 4-4. You are what your record is, and you know hopefully you can go to the or beat the Patriots next week and get to 5-4. But it sure does not feel like a 4-4 team right now.
Yeah, they are 4-4, and they like you're saying next week they could be 5-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
could
should
be over 500.
Yep. Yes.
They should be so. This team just has to collect itself. I mean, it looks so bad. Right? It really did.
It does.
It looks so bad when you watch that game. It was what you were – you didn't want that to happen after the week they had.
And one more thing. He talked about the work with Caleb at the end of the game, trying to get work in, the two-minute drill. that made, again, that to me is a poor coaching decision.
That's insanity.
Coach, you got to see what's lined up in front of them.
Yeah.
That's not safe.
That's the rambling.
I mean, all they're doing right
there
is they're teeing off knowing you're going to pass and you've got all backups up there. That's the time to say, all right, we got enough work done today. We'll deal with the work later on. It's not the preseason. This is the regular season. That guy we drafted number one to be our franchise, we got to protect him.
You go into the game with all sorts of injuries on your offensive line, and then you lose some of your best people, and then you say, well, you know, we've got a practice squatter in here. Let's make sure we get Caleb some work. What kind of mind-numbing idea is that? It's just that was, honestly, that's as bad as anything that happened in the game. To get the guy hurt.
Your fifth or sixth string offensive tackle. Yeah. Like that's right. And someone posted on Twitter that Next Gen Stats said 16 different Cardinals had pressure on the quarterback.
Ooh,
right.
Wow.
So when you're watching the game, you just say, man, let's run the ball.
Are they allowed to play that many?
I thought there was only 11.
It looked like they had that many.
Aren't there only 11 guys on the defense? Wait a minute, 16 different guys?
Twitter never lies.
No, never. Especially never Pro lies. Football never. Focus. Yes, they know everything. Their stats are perfect.
Next Gen Stats, never. It's just comments like that after game. Like, it was a hard game to watch. It was a hard week to be a part of. The Chicago Bears can't get the Patriots fast enough.
No, you're right.
All right. If he did get hurt, what are we saying now? I mean, he didn't. I'm knocking on wood. But, like, again, that's another coaching. It's just another bad coaching decision he made, keeping that young man out there.
Disaster. Yep. John is in Chicago. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I got some observations, but I want to give you guys credit. I could just only imagine what Doug Buffon and Obi would be saying right now. I think you'd probably blow a gasket right through the roof of your building there. But I think it was Patrick right at the beginning of the show said that there weren't any bad coaching decisions. Well, Caleb missed a couple of passes he should have got early, but I think the bad decision was when they were on the 11-yard line, first down, and three consecutive pass plays. They didn't get him anywhere, and they ended up settling for the field goal. I think it's things like that. I don't know if they were trying to make sure they scored in the first quarter or not, but those were some of the things that's one thing that stood out when I was watching the game.
Yeah, it was a bad offensive game plan.
Yeah.
Caleb looked a little rough.
Yep.
Obviously, the O-line, I think, got it rougher. Made it more rough as the game went along. But, all around it was a bad, bad game. And I just wonder what they can do offensively now with how poorly they've done in the first halves and especially the first quarters. Do you move guys around coaching-wise? Do you give different responsibilities? Do you take responsibilities away from a Thomas Brown who's the passing game coordinator, right? That's what his title is?
Yes.
How's the passing game?
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know what you do, but there just needs to be a hard look right now because this is about the growth of Caleb. And it looks like, we had three good weeks and then now two bad weeks and one good quarter in the fourth quarter last week.
Yeah, and what John's talking about is they're down there first and 10 on the 11 and throw the ball three straight times. Now, look, when you study the Arizona Cardinals and the Bears, you're thinking to yourself, okay, big advantages at the wide receiver position. You can see Shane Waldron's plan was to spread them out and attack that. But when you get there with the way your young quarterback is playing early in games, when you get into a scoring position, hand the ball off.
Yeah.
Hand the ball off, throw passes off your run game. Mm-hmm. But it was just they went to tempo immediately. They tried to spread them out, and then they never really got back to what they do well, which is running downhill behind Darnell Wright, and then maybe passes off of that run look. It was just – like we talked about, you can go through the game and you're not going to be happy, but it was a lot of things repeating itself that has repeated itself all year.
Let's try Maurice. Maurice is in Avalon Park. Hey, Maurice.
Hello, gentlemen. Long time no talk with. Now, Shane Waldron, he doesn't know how to get his players in, cold commit, never got him involved in the blocking game. And Keenan Allen, where was he? What's going on? Wait a minute. When you have Cairo as your place kicker, Santos as your MVP, what does that say about the offensive game plan? Nothing.
Says that it was very offensive.
Says it was terrible.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Maurice.
And Keenan was there. He had a big drop.
Yeah.
Those are on third down. He had a big drop. And that stuff that you look at a game that turned out 29-9, and as bad as poorly as it looked, those little plays sneak up, and that's the way it turns out. The way it turned out. You want your guy, your star player, to help your quarterback out. He drops that pass. But there was a lot of other stuff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were looking for Cole Kmet early because of all the zone they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you thought, okay, it's a perfect game for a big target in the middle of the field, sitting in the holes that they leave in their zone, and they just never went to him. He had zero targets.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I don't get that one at all. Maybe he shut his mouth off. No, everyone was allowed to say whatever they
wanted.
Like
to.
We're gonna
listen. That's just this generation.
You know how they are. Yeah. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Great Clips Post Game Show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago, TimberTech Decking and Railing, 312-644-6767. We'll try to get all your calls in here on The Score.
Live from Wonderverse in Oak Brook, we're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
You are listening to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. And we are enjoying ourselves out here at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. What a great spot. Mm-hmm. Food was phenomenal. Everything but the game. They did everything they could other than deliver a proper performance from the Chicago Bears. They just were not good gentlemen in that game, and there's no pretending that they were. The kicker was good. And when, as one of our callers said, when you're praising the kicker, you're really kind it's of damning everyone.
No.
They got those.
The long snaps
points.
Are good.
The long snaps.
We can't go there.
They were perfect.
Yeah.
No, it was, man. You were hopeful that after that long week, after the Commanders game, that this would turn around and they would come together and go out and beat a very and win a winnable game. Yes. And they didn't. And they went down there and let it run down their leg. And they looked bad at all phases, everywhere. And it's it does not look good right now. It does not feel like a 4-4 team at all.
Matt is listening in Boston. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call and representing the fans out here in Chicago. There's a quote that goes around in the coaching world that goes, hey, you want your players to love you when you're losing, so when you're winning, they can't live without you. And I think we can live without this coaching staff.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of that today, I must say. And thanks, Matt. Thanks for listening in Boston. And I was worried that he wanted to get some inside info and feed it to New England.
Yeah, I know.
Can't have that. We're getting a lot of that. There's no doubt about it. Billy is in Los Angeles. How about that? Mm-hmm. Hey, Billy.
Hey, brother. First-time caller. Two things. Players win games and coaches lose them. After that, Caleb's inaccuracy has got to be talked about from last week and beyond to this week. He's missing guys deep, whether it's, you know, intermediate to that Keenan Allen in the third or the fourth quarter to the deep shots that he's taking. He's missing his guys, and we got to fix that. It can't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably why they were working on it when he was getting sacked by backups. honestly, Billy, I think that Caleb was a little bit late. Mm-hmm. At different points early on, and then, you know, had a hard time catching up because they obviously fell behind pretty much.
It takes him a while to get into games. It really does. And it's something that Shane Waldron and the rest of the coaching staff need to figure out. They have to get him going early. To Billy's point, he does miss guys early in games, right?
And
like we're talking about early in this game, their plan was to spread them out, go up tempo, go what they call empty, get everybody out of the backfield, have him pick them apart. There was a play he missed. He threw it to Keenan Allen late over the middle. Cole Kmet's wide open to start the play. Right, just in the beginning of games, just take your 6 to 8 yard gain and move on. Now, there were times you could say, okay, Odunze dropped the ball. He overthrew Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
It's just early in games, like we talked about, going into their bye week. We talked about how do you get that offense going early in games, and then can the defense shore up their run defense? That's things we talked about on this radio station before they came back from the bye week.
Right.
And they haven't got it fixed.
No.
Right? So identifying your problems, and Coach Eberflus said in that audio, we got to look within. Well, that was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're 2 weeks behind now.
So you go back to the first – I got the first series here. I think it's 10 or 12 plays, whatever it is. But just looking through it, they went up tempo, and it was working for a while. They started on their own 20-yard line or whatever it was, and, you know, there were some good plays. The great Caleb scramble, the throw to Rome was great. Then you have another wow scramble, but then you have P.I. on Keenan Allen. So that sets him back, right? Then you have a completion to Rome, a completion to DJ, a nice run, a completion to Swift. Then you have a flag. Yeah, the illegal formation by Borum.
Yeah, and that was on a third down that they converted.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
So that's a big mm-hmm. a big call.
So I felt like maybe okay, this have they done that in the past? I can't recall. Have they gone really up tempo the first series in the games?
No, I don't know.
They haven't done that before.
First series.
Yeah, I don't think the first series, right?
So they have gone up tempo, but they haven't opened up tempo.
So
you're
a small
right.
victory, it was working a little bit, but then they shot themselves in the foot with two penalties, and they had a sack on 3rd and 13 to end the drive. But maybe that is the answer, because he does like going up tempo. When you see him go up tempo, he seems like he starts playing a little bit better.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the adjustment he needs, but then stop having a PI call. They still converted that and got a first down there, but then stop having the illegal formation.
I didn't think that. I thought that PI call was a little rough. He's a receiver. He goes out. He's coming back for the ball. You know, he pushes off.
It didn't look like a push off to me.
Yeah, no. I agree.
I don't think the referees had their best game either.
No,
they should take responsibility
I agree.
For that.
But you know, when you're not playing well, when you're bad, you get calls against
That's
you.
That's 100%.
Tyler is in Quad Cities. Hey, Tyler, how are you, bud?
How's it going, guys? Glad to be on with you. Love you guys. I just think today's game was just absolutely coaching malpractice, to be honest with you. I really don't know what it is, because we can't scheme anything to get guys open. And that punt on the safety where we just kick it straight up, I don't even think that you can onside kick a punt. It's just, have the guys given up on them? I'm not sure.
Yeah, what is the rule on the punt, Pat?
Well, they're hoping they don't call a fair catch.
Okay.
So obviously they were coached extremely well by Jeff Rogers as soon as they lined up.
Yeah.
And that's stuff you work on. Those kind of calls you work on a lot during the offseason.
Yeah.
And then I guarantee you this week, knowing who Tory Taylor is, they're like, hey, this guy might pull something different. That Jeff Rogers said, okay, if he tries to hit the high hang time onside kick, it's an automatic fair catch. So you saw all 11 guys start waving their hand.
Yeah.
So you know, that's kind of being out-coached a little bit. And also, Hightower worked for Jeff Rogers. So I think he would know, like he would know all these rules and all that kind of stuff. So that was surprised to see that. But maybe it's a desperation play where they were in that situation.
Yeah.
But you're just hoping they don't know the rules. But you would think Hightower would know that Jeff Rogers knows the rules as well as he does. So that's right back to Tyler's comment there was poor coaching.
Chris is in Humboldt Park. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm just trying to understand why Cole Kmet had zero targets. It really made it easier for the Arizona defense. I mean, most of the time, these guys were only rushing five guys. I'm not even sure if they blitzed. You know, getting that guy involved would have helped the offense, you know, be a little bit more dynamic. And it really helped Arizona really focus on, you know, bringing pressure and stopping the run. You know, just it's very very upsetting to see. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, well, when you talk about Cole Kmet and you talk about, okay, why wasn't he targeted? Was there plays called for him? You almost need the sideline copy. Because the one we saw there, talking about on the first drive where he throws it late to Keenan Allen down the middle. The play's probably designed to go to Cole Kmet.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that is Caleb Williams not throwing it to him.
Yeah.
So you have to watch the full game to know what actually happened there with Cole Kmet. I know this. With how much zone they were playing, he should have been a bigger part of the game plan.
Yeah.
And it should have been – and they might have talked to Caleb on the sideline and said, look for your big tight ends in the middle of the field with the defense that they are playing. Now, they did blitz Caleb Williams. They did bring more guys – the offensive line could block because Shane Waldron was going a lot of five-man protection. He was getting guys out because they thought they could block the Cardinals one-on-one. And a lot of times it showed up like that. So this is going to be a very interesting film to watch on why they didn't move the ball. Why couldn't we score points against a defense we matched up well with talent-wise.
Yes. A defense that had given up quite a bit over the course of the season. A defense that was, I believe, last in the NFL on third down coming into the game.
They were like 26 in all their stats.
It's ridiculous.
So the bottom third of the league. And you should be able to put more points up with that talent you have. And it's, you know, again, maybe going back to Tyler's call there about the coaching. You got to scheme them open. You got to coach them to throw it to the open player. And that is the thing, Olin, when I do go back and watch the tape, I do want to see, like, you know, they say call players, not plays.
Right. Mm.
And is there some of those plays or players that were called that were not thrown to the right person? So it'll be interesting to see who was open and maybe he was forcing it or I don't know. It just wasn't clicking.
Maybe never had any time.
Yeah.
That certainly was the case last week. Nick's in Bloomington. Hey, Nick. Did we lose Nick? That's on me. I take full accountability. I think it's high time. Let's try.
It's my fault, too. It's my fault, too. I think it's Olin's fault, too. Dustin's fault.
No, I don't feel like it's my fault.
Olin denies.
You're a bad teammate.
I don't want to lose credibility when it wasn't my fault. It's just not. Like, I don't want to take blame for something that wasn't my fault.
Let's try Krim 44. Hey, Krim.
Hey, what up, guys? Frustrating, but you guys are the best. Real quick, I'll be quick and articulate, but the whole thing is, you know, what happened with last week, Tyreek Stevenson ruined the whole season. I mean, that's coaching. Like, if you had to go back to a Mike Ditka and look in his face or a Jim Harbaugh or somebody that really cared, you'd be like, I would never do that. And that ruined the season. Today was brutal because of last week. They never recovered from it, and it's very sad. And, you know, it's tough.
Thanks, Grim. Do you buy that?
You know, it's
he ruined the
it's
season.
Something we didn't want to have to talk about. That's why we're all hoping so much that they would have won this game.
Exactly.
Because we knew after that Hail Mary, and I think Molly pointed out last week, that this could be a turning point. Like, this is a big game in Coach Eberflus's career because of the way they lost last week, of what was said after the game. Now you're in Arizona against a beatable team, and you embarrassed yourself today.
Yes.
You did. So how they pick the pieces up here, what they do, it'll speak to their culture.
Yeah.
So we are watching again against a bad Patriots team, what they look like when they come out next week and this week, and what comes out from that locker room this week.
Yeah, what does the leadership council have to say?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We all want to know.
I know.
Oh,
that's what we got to know.
They think we all want to know.
I'll
tell you that much. Yeah. They're all waiting to tell us.
Yeah. I'm curious. So you now have the home crowd involved, right? They are finally back at Soldier Field. How are these players received? How is the coach received? Mm-hmm. Do you expect anything other than support for the Bears favored by a touchdown at home against New England?
I think early on, yes. I think when they get there, we've been a lot part of a lot of bad teams. Mm-hmm. If you play well early on, if the offense goes 3-3 and out 3 or 4 times in a row, the boo birds may be out.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people not satisfied with the way the last couple of weeks went, right?
Yes.
With that Hail Mary. And it was just, man, that play right now really sits over their head, especially after the game they just played. They didn't erase it out of anybody's mind.
No.
That's an interesting point, too, because home field advantage is real. And then when you get to that point where they are right now and you start playing poor, you can feel it. You know, you feel it on the sideline. You feel it on the field. And then that's also something McCaskey's going to hear. Kevin Warren's going to hear.
Yeah.
Ryan Poles is going to hear. So let's hope it doesn't get there.
Yeah.
If it is, it's the Patriots who you're 7-point favorite to.
Exactly.
And you go out there and throw out a game. Like, I don't think they'll lose by 20. But if you go out there and play poorly like they did the first three quarters last week against the Commanders and the way they did offensively against the Cardinals, yes, you're going to hear the boo birds.
Yeah, the fans will be on your side. But as you guys know from your own life experience, there are plenty of seasons where people seem to hang around until in freezing conditions just to yell as people ran off the field. I mean, honest to God, it was shocking sometimes because you're looking at people like, dude, go home. Why are you still here?
No, but that's what's great about Chicago, Molly.
I agree.
Hopefully you agree with me. Yeah. Playing in Chicago was amazing. And I always say,
When you lose here, the fans get on you hard.
Yeah.
But when you win, they love you twice as much.
Yeah, well, people care. They care.
Yes, they just care.
How you're playing, and you know, they care about, obviously, what calls the coaches are making, and they're paying attention to what mm-hmm. you're doing on that football field.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. People do love the Bears, and we'll be back, and we'll close it out a little bit. We'll tell you what we think about what happened, and we'll have predictions. I think both guys want to pick next week's game.
Can we just, like, speak it into existence and like, make it happen? That's what I want to do.
You're listening to the post-game show. It is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing on the Score.
Do you sense you're okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yep.
You feel like maybe you shouldn't have been in the game at that point?
It's not my decision. You fight to the end of the game if you're in the game. If not, coach makes a decision like that. You know, you have to deal with it and you know, figure out, you know, the next steps. But, not my decision.
Live from Wonderverse in Oak Brook, we're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. We should let you know it's time for Who's Hot and Who's Cold, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. I believe we had determined that Cairo Santos, our favorite Brazilian field goal kicker, was the only hot player. Because
wait, do you have another Brazilian field goal kicker you like?
Yes. I'm a big fan of all Brazilians who Pelle. Can kick a ball. Yeah,
Pelle,
exactly.
Right?
Yes, Pelle.
Yes,
yeah, Pelle, I love yes, it. Yeah. That's a good one.
No.
So we're going with Pelle. No, we're going with Cairo Santos. As far as who's cold, I think everybody involved in run defense, right? Mm-hmm. I think their run defense really was awful in that game, and they were run over. Let's be honest about it. So that is the who's hot and who's cold. We want to remind you that next Sunday, that's November 10th, you can join Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and Mully at what? At Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. I thought I wasn't allowed out. They'll host our pregame show from 9 to noon, and then we'll have the immediate reaction in the postgame show after Chicago takes on New England, winnable game, and that's Sunday, November 10th at Flagship on the Fox, great spot in St. Charles. We should also thank the fine folks from Aurelio's Pizza for delivering delicious food for today's game. You can download that Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com, and you can find the location nearest to Aurelio's Pizza, celebrating 65 years. It's the sauce. All right, so we look at this game. You know, the difficult thing was if you wanted to, you could see it coming. The Bears had a terrible performance a week ago, and we had talked after that show about not letting one bad performance become two. It feels like that happened. The worst part of it is the number of injuries. You know, playing without Montez Sweat, very bad. Mm-hmm. We'll find out about Andrew Billings as the week goes on. Darnell Wright had to leave the game. Your battered offensive line got more beaten up. Mm-hmm. I just think that there are so many little ticky-tack kind of problems. You hope they're not major problems, and that's the real concern right now.
Injuries are a major concern, right? And it's to the wrong players. It's to
yes.
the guys they need.
Yes.
It's to two very important guys. Well, three, Billings, Montez Sweat, and Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright would be a huge loss for the offensive line. Right?
Oh, my.
And we talked about in the pregame, they might want to see what Jatari Carter's doing out there at
yeah.
Carolina. So you're just looking for anybody who knows your scheme. And, you know, looking back at the game, with 3:37 left in the half, they're only down 7-6.
Yeah.
Right? They get the leverage call on yeah. and things just – they go downhill from there. But as far as you're saying, Mully, for this team, for those guys who, you know, Billings, when someone says a peck, you always get worried.
Yeah.
Montez
yeah.
Sweat, you expect him to be back. Yeah. He was almost ready to play this week. He'd be a big guy to get back for this team. And it's just you're worried about Darnell Wright. You're worried about when does Braxton Jones come back, Karan Armijat. They just have a lot of guys right now who are beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Darnell Wright's out, you only have one true starter at the offensive line mm-hmm. that was kind of slated in to be there at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah, the plan yeah. hasn't worked.
That's
yeah. And Tevin Jenkins has been in and out a little bit, mm-hmm. even in game, right?
Yes. And yes. That's in front of your franchise first-round, first-pick quarterback. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think maybe we talked about it a little bit during the game. I think Dustin and I talked about it, is that would you rather have Roma Dunze or would you rather have
Olufoshana?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you would rather have guys.
Yes.
There should have been other guys come.
Right.
They should have been drafted before. Yes. 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 Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that is scary.
By the time you get to your franchise quarterback, you should have young players that are developing and ready to be in front of him for mm-hmm. years to come.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just in week 9, all of a sudden, there's more questions than answers with this team. Right. There's a lot of questions now for this football team, for this head coach. There's a credibility problem. There's leadership problem. You're just – asking them how are you going to score points in the first three quarters?
Yeah.
Why is the young quarterback struggling early on? Why is he overthrowing guys? Why isn't he throwing to the open guy? Why did your defense give up 200 yards rushing to the Cardinals? There's just a lot of questions. And then you lost a very good player as your nose guard, and we'll see how he's doing.
Yeah.
Then you got a coach on the hot seat. Right? I mean, I think the players will feel that. I'm sure they'll see the media.
The players put him there.
No, that's true. That's good news. I mean, you kind of threw him out there, which is interesting because he's 4-4, and you look at the other 2-7 teams, Doug Peterson, Brian Daboll, Dennis Allen, and then Jerod Mayo, who we're going to face this week. They're 2-7. And I would put Matt Eberflus on the hot seat just as hot as theirs is, which is kind of interesting to say when you're 4-4 and – yeah, I just we'll see what the guys do
When you're in your third year.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I think that coaches that are just starting out are usually given a little bit of time, mm-hmm. but it feels as if Matt Eberflus needs a winning season.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you've got to be able to win games you're supposed to win. You had 1-1 and you lost it. Now you lost another one. Now you got this road record thing that's out there. Now mm-hmm. you got him being accountable for everything. I think someone belched in the third row of the press corps, and he apologized and said, if it smells like salami and pastrami, it's on me. It felt that way anyway.
I want to go back and listen
to it.
You
got to laugh at you from crying, man.
See how many times he did say responsibility and apologize.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My gosh.
I appreciate the question, man. Hey, thanks to Dustin Rhodes. Great man he is.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow morning. Connor O'Donnell here. Thank you, Connor, for coming out and getting us twitching. And Rich runs the whole operation.
Rich,
always
man.
A joy, buddy. He's the best.
MVP.
And thanks to Robbie Triano back in the office. He was screening all the calls and all the rest of it. And anyway, you know, it's a pity. A perfectly good night, a beautiful place ruined by a bad performance from the Bears. But we'll be on tomorrow morning, 5:30, with David Haw. And Olin will be joining us at 7. Mm-hmm. And, Pat, you are on
11 o'clock on Tuesday.
11 a.m. on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we'll be you'll be hearing more from us. Let's hope the news from the Bears is better. You are listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by the pitchers Wonderver Chicago and Timber Tech Decking and Railing on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app